The Church Media Podcast, episode number 97, 10 Ways to Take Your Website to the Next Level with Dan Ermler. Part 2. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media productions in the church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world. Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now. At 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Episode number 97 of the Church Media Podcast. Hope you guys are doing well today. Thank you so much for hanging out. We are just 3 weeks away from our 100th episode of the show. We'll be taking a look back at some of our favorite episodes, our most popular interviews, and I'll be welcoming some very special guests to the show, so don't miss that. The episode will be available on Monday, July 24th, so don't miss it. I want to let you know about a brand new service that we're now offering churches across the country and around the world even, and that is weekly church video announcements. Now, we've produced hundreds of these for churches in the past, but have now structured that to make it more accessible and available for churches everywhere. Now, there are very few companies on the market that are offering a high-quality premium solution to church video announcements, and we're bringing that to the market in a big, big way. Professional on-screen talent, exceptional quality video, the highest standard motion graphics, and more. We'll even be offering solutions for us to come out to your church to shoot B-roll footage to use in your announcements and with your other projects. It's all at 1230media.com. Check that out today. I'm so excited about this week as I welcome back Dan Ermler to the show. Dan runs churchhacks.com. His company hosts hundreds of church websites, and his insight is very practical for your web presence at your church. Dan and I will be continuing our discussion about how to take your church website to the next level. That's coming right up. But first, your church media resource of the week.
And now, your church media resource of the week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Hey there, Kim Porter from the River Church here with your church media resource of the week. If you're in the market for great gear for your productions, look no further than B&H. They can be a little pricey depending on the gear you need to purchase, but their site is definitely worth the search for anything related to your audio and video productions. Search their site for photography, computer, video, lighting, audio, TVs, and more. From kits to devices to tripods, mounts, and storage, B&H has a great selection. Check out their site at bhphotovideo.com. That's bhphotovideo.com.
For more free resources for your team, visit 1230media.com/training. This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
We are back again with my friend Dan Ermler from churchhacks.com. We're talking about 10 ways to take your website to the next level. Dan, welcome back, man.
It is a privilege to be back with you and your amazing audience.
Thank you, dude. Now, we tackled tons of stuff last week, our first five in our list of ways that you can take your website to the next level. We talked through a clear call to action, real pictures, a staff directory, live chat, welcome video. You can catch up on that. Feel free to take a dive into the archives if you're listening and want to catch up on our convo. Lots of great stuff from last week's episode. But, Dan, I'm super excited about wrapping this list up this week and talking through our next five and taking our website to the next level.
Yeah, we saved the best for last. So, I mean, these last five ones hopefully will really equip some churches. I mean, that's why we do what we do, and hopefully be a help to the people who are trying to reach our local communities with the gospel.
Before we dive back in, give us another quick snapshot of what you guys do at Church Hacks. And you guys host and help hundreds of churches with their website and they're not only designing it, hosting it, how they should present it to people, all kinds of stuff. Kind of walk me through what you guys do and how you help churches with their website.
Yeah, at Church Hacks, we really focus on church media and marketing. We want to give churches the best tips on how they can have awesome marketing that really is story-driven. It connects with their community, as well as media. The days of the clip art are hopefully over, of cheesy media are hopefully gone. And so what we're trying to do is just equip them with excellence. Our typical church that we work with is somewhere between 80 and 300. And it's these smaller churches. It's pastors who wear a lot of different hats and just need a break. And they want to have that higher-end look. And they want to have marketing that's effective. And we really feel like we can fill that gap. And we love the churches we get to work with. What's cool is most of the people that work here, we have about 12 people who work here on staff. Most of us come from ministry families. So my dad was a pastor. Jeremy, who's a co-owner, his dad was a pastor. And a lot of the people here grew up in ministry homes. So it's where our heart is. We just love getting to serve people who work in local churches. And, man, seeing people discipled, seeing people brought to Christ, lives changed. Man, we are so jazzed to get to help churches and be a small part in those success stories. So it's exciting.
Now, the first one on our list is something that you guys just kill. I love watching how you guys build your email list. And so our first one here is email sign up. Kind of give us some pointers here and walk us through how we can take our website to the next level with an email sign up.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. You know, I'm not a marketer by nature. That's not, I'm a builder. I like to create things. And a few years ago, we started getting into marketing. And you kind of think that, the marketing is always that thing that's out there. It's that next, what's Facebook doing? And what's all this? And as I got in to learn the secrets of marketing, you know what everybody pointed me to? Email. Right. Email, as we were going through it, the best return on investment was email. And you kind of think, oh, Dan, isn't it this, using social media and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter? And it all came back to email. And there's a couple reasons why email is just fantastic. Now, I want to list that. It's inexpensive. It's not expensive to have an email account and to consistently send out good emails. It's just not. It's not going to break the bank. You can use platforms like MailChimp, a Constant Contact is one of my favorite, which is MailerLite. And I know it sounds a lot like a beer company. It's not. It's called MailerLite.com. And what's great about them is they actually allow you to just create great-looking emails, and it's so easy. And I love companies with email right now. What's amazing is a lot of these companies are building in automations. And a simple how an automation works is, someone signs up for your email list. Instead of sending them one email, you're actually sending them two, three, four emails in sequence. And I know MailChimp does this. If you are running your church's email accounts, take some time and really learn about email automation. It is worth it. So the reasons to use email is it's inexpensive and it can deliver amazing results. And also, it gives you the ability to remarket. So when I get someone from Facebook, unless I get their email, I have to go and pay Facebook again for an ad to get that person's attention. Once you have their email, you can send out, a sequence of emails leading up to Easter, a sequence of emails leading up to Christmas, and, you can kind of go after them. So once you have their email, it's a lot like their physical address. You can keep kind of contacting them.
So what are some other ways that we can build a great email list? I know the one kind of method that you guys use is kind of making them give you your email address before they can get too deep into your website. I've seen this approach used several times. So give me your approach on that and maybe some other ways.
With churches, what I recommend, do you want to have eternal life? and then got to give us your no, that's horrible. That's horrible. So somebody now hates me and somebody laughs. So I'm sorry, but no. What you want to do is you do want to think of, okay, who's my community and how can I provide value for them? You know, someone who's on your website is probably either wants to grow spiritually or is struggling with something spiritually. So why not create a fantastic resource that you can give them in exchange for their email? So the resource could be something like, hey, over the next 7 days, we have an email that has a video in it, and we just want you to grow spiritually over the next 7 days. Our pastor has recorded these 2-minute devotionals. You know, give us your email, and we're going to help you grow spiritually over the next 7 days. And you can use programs like think about how easy this is. You have your iPhone where you can record the video. You have Vimeo, that's free, where you can upload the video. And then you can use something like MailerLite.com and send out a sequence of emails. So that's something free with a lot of value that you can give somebody in exchange for their email.
So what are some things that we should stay away from, steer clear of when it comes to building our email list?
Not doing it. I mean, that's where I see a lot of churches. They just, it just somehow doesn't make it onto the priority. And think about how much money we spend on whether it's mailers or ads or all these other things. The backbone really needs to be email. The backbone needs to be going after people from their email accounts. And consumers know this. I mean, Kohl's knows this. Target knows this. I mean, you may say, well, you know, the people in our church, you know, aren't super, you know, business savvy. Everybody has an email account. Okay, everybody has an email account, and typically everybody. So you really want to make sure that you have a game plan to do it. I think the worst mistake you can have with email is just kind of avoiding it or not really having a good game plan to execute on it. And your game plan doesn't have to be complicated. You're saying, okay, we're going to take a list and we're going to start before Easter. We're going to start warming it up. We're going to send out, you know, a couple emails. Churches produce a ton of content on any given week. Their sermon series, their sermon notes, events. I mean, there's no reason why putting together a weekly newsletter could definitely be a part of the email process. But man, leading up to events, you can put 3 or 4 emails that are going to get sent out to encourage people to come. But yeah, the worst mistake you can make with email is avoiding it.
So what is the frequency rate that I should be sending my audience emails? Is it once a week, a couple of times a week? Is it once a day? Man. Give me how much is too much. Kind of walk me through that.
Yeah, so some of the thoughts to do, everybody's a little bit different, and every congregation's a little bit different. So let me give you some general numbers, but take it with a grain of salt. Here's what you need to do. There's no magic formula. In the world of marketing, there's testing, and more testing. And so I don't have the perfect, like, do this and it will work. What you need to do is start with this and then tweak, and version, you know, 12, 14, 15 will work. And so let me just give you a good, you know, framework, some thought process on what to mail out. The main thing is you want to think about consistency. So you're going to start getting more open rates and more when you're consistent. And so rather than just every once in a while, you know, sending out a random email, thinking what would be a good email to send out maybe on Monday? Well, Monday you can have, you know, here's a link to the message. Here's one worship song. Here's a quick, you know, written, you know, here's a quote from the message. You can use Sunday's content and put that into a weekly newsletter. Here's a link to the small group. Here's the big events this week. So, I mean, that can be a weekly where you're telling them what the events are, you know, the church-wide events, here's a link to the message, and here's a couple other things. So that's a once-a-week email that you can send out. Also, I wish more pastors would maybe consider doing this. I know the time constraint on them is pretty insane, but man, taking 1 to 2 minutes, recording a video with your iPhone, and then emailing that out midweek to your church, and just a word of encouragement, you know, something, or maybe a recap of the message, maybe a reminder from the message. And so I would start, if you could, at least saying once a week, we're going to send out an email. And if you can get up to 2 times a week, that would be phenomenal. And that way your list is kind of warmed up when you're coming into your big event times, which is the main event every year is Easter. Second to that is Christmas, and then Mother's Day. And so you want to use those events, and especially, you know, you can use email to kind of work through that.
What are some number one reasons why people unsubscribe from a list?
It's not relevant to them. It's not actually relevant, and that's okay. You know, if people don't want to receive, you don't want to keep blasting them. You're just going to annoy them. The content hasn't been well thought through. So you haven't actually taken time to really think through, okay, what am I writing? You spend more time on graphics than wording. So you really do, like, I have a graphics background, so I kind of learned this wrong. I always thought, you know, I'm going to send out an email and it just needs to have really pretty looking graphics and bam, it's done. Actually, an email is really copywriting. Here's a quick tip, you know. If you're kind of discouraged on your open rates, send out emails that have no graphics and no formatting, but just have really good, you know, a really good subject and really good copy or really good writing. So as you're leading up to an Easter event, maybe one of the emails can be just, hey, here's a email from Pastor, and there's no graphics, there's no pictures, and I promise you, it's going to be one of the best performing emails is the one that's just plain text.
I've seen that a lot lately, actually, with even with some of the big guys, you might right. say, there's no big fancy graphics and stuff. It's just words, maybe a call to action at the end of it, something like right. that. Very simple.
Right. I love email, and I think churches could see a lot of value. It's interesting. If your church is investing marketing dollars into Facebook ads and you're investing money into traditional mailings, which I'm for, I can give you a lot of examples of mailings, and we do a lot of printing, and it's effective. But, man, when you couple all of those with a good email strategy, man, you're like a rocket. You're doubling the effectiveness of those, whether it's the Facebook ads or the traditional printing or whatever. You know, you really are doubling the effectiveness when you really have a strategy for email. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, leading up to events, sit down and say, hey, what are my 3 or 4 emails I'm going to send out, you know, for this? And during the week, you say, okay, how can we take Sunday's content and really make it into a good email that our congregation, regular attenders would actually appreciate getting?
Okay, so let's move on. Let's talk about number 7 on our list. Walk me through that.
Okay, online giving is just something that every church should do. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time here. I would recommend, I love the guys over at Tithely. There's other good companies. If you're using PushPay or, you know, you're using MoGive, don't switch. Maybe you should. you know, do whatever you want there. I'm not here to say that one company is better. I would recommend Tithely. I just love those guys to death. But, man, make it easy where people or members can easily give on your website. So I think this one's been hit pretty well. I think most people are kind of understanding how important it is to have giving. Here's what I would recommend. So with your website, you may not want to put the giving where a first-time visitor is the first thing they see. So you may want to think through that just a little bit. Okay, I don't necessarily want, just like if someone walking into your church, you're not going to hit them with the offering plate. I don't know if a church website visitor, the first thing you want to hit them with is, hey, give here, you know, or invest here or whatever. You want to be a little bit thoughtful as, okay, I don't know if that needs to be the first thing we do for them.
That's good. That's good. How do you make that really easy, accessible to people? Meaning, would you suggest things like saving your credit card information so that they don't have to re-enter that every time? Things like that. Are there things that would make it real easy for your congregation to interact with that section of your website?
Yeah, that's the core. Okay, so you want to be really careful here. So this is where the big guys are going to know what they're doing. So like a Tithely, a PushPay, they can store credit cards, but it's in a very secure environment. It's encrypted. It's not going to be in a place where it can ever be accessed, where you never want to put it in an unsecure environment. But yes, when you're looking for an online giving, you're going to want to make sure it's mobile friendly. You want to make sure it fits within the environment, so it can be used from us. Like again, text to give is really big now. You can give from a kiosk in the lobby if you need to. You just want to have as many environments, as many ways to give, whether it's being online, even down to an envelope where people can, you know, it's secure. There's remittance envelopes where people can even, you know, write in some of their credit card information, and you can put it online. It's not the the most secure. Again, I think the best is just going from a digital format. But man, I've seen like Tidely system. My church uses PushPay. These are all very secure ways to store your credit card and put it on consistent giving. But definitely don't try to do that yourselves. Definitely don't have a legal pad in the back of the offices. Right. I think most churches would know that. But yeah, you want to have a intuitive online giving system.
Okay, so our eighth way to take your website to the next level is typography. And Dan, I know what you're going to say here. It's Scriptiana, Papyrus, Comic Sans.
You nailed it. Comic Sans, man. We're done.
That's it.
You know, it's funny. I love beautiful graphics. I really do. And one of the things that has really kind of changed a bit is understanding how important typography is. You can kind of get a little bit complicated by just throwing big graphics. And so what you want to do is maybe your wording can function as the graphic as well. And so a great resource to get good fonts for free is Google Fonts. They make it really easy to embed interesting fonts onto your website, and so you can have some great looking fonts, or you can use a paid version like Typekit to get those. But maybe instead of using big complicated graphics, think about just using some well-suited fonts to communicate what you want. That, but good typography, you know, it's now easier than ever to get great looking fonts onto your website. It wasn't that. I remember in the early days of the web, man, to have a different font. Oh, it was insane what the hoops you had to jump through to get a good looking font on your website. Now it's easier than ever. Google Fonts makes this incredibly simple, and I would recommend, maybe instead of using that graphic, just saying, hey, can I use a font? Again, I'm big into conversion. So if you are one of those people who've taken the time and set up Google Analytics onto your website, and you're looking at your click-through rates, and you're looking at what's getting clicked on, you know, you may want to try and say, okay, what you know, instead of using maybe big graphics, I'm going to start using titles and fonts that just clearly communicate. It's amazing. I'm seeing more and more websites that are getting rid of graphics or simplifying graphics down to like a gradient or down to something very simplistic, and then really using that header, that main line of text to say something, to be bold. One of our best converting pages is black text on a white background. I mean, it's black text on a white background, and it's one of our best converting pages. It's amazing. So don't underthink fonts. Take some time and really evaluate your fonts. And maybe your fonts might even be able to replace some of your graphics and just kind of simplify and make it easier for people to make a decision on your website.
You know, we're seeing this when we're making videos for churches and clients as well. In that, you know, when you're first starting out, when I was first starting out in video, the tendency was to, oh, the software has these bells and whistles, let me try using them. Or, you know, oh, I have access to all these fonts, let me try using them. And really, the more and more you experience that I have and the years and being in this, just the simple, the better most of the time. And I would say that that's probably true with websites as well, is you don't need a million fonts on your pages. In fact, make it real simple. One font with a couple of different weights or maybe two, maybe three fonts, depending on what you're doing. But don't go overboard. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you want to be really careful about just using too many fonts. And there's a bit of studying. There's a bit of, you know, you really want to make sure you're coupling. One of the fonts that I love right now is Lato. It's L-A-T-O. It's free through Google Fonts. And it's beautiful. And what's great about it has all these wonderful weights. So it has a very bold weight, but it also has a thin weight. So it's very skinny type of text. And so you can use one font on your entire website, but it looks different because of the weights of that font. So absolutely. Just keep it simple. It's a wonderful time for design right now. Design is it's easier than ever to be a designer. I mean, again, Carl, I remember back in the days where if it didn't have a lens flare on it, it wasn't a legit design. So
so true. Okay, our next thing to talk about here is icons. Now, this is a really, really popular thing now with websites, is to use icons throughout, especially in explaining things or in this is what we do. We do, or a step by step. We do, this, then this, then this. And there's icons for different things. So talk us through how it might be better to use icons instead of text for links.
Yeah. So I have to be honest here. I am an addict to icons. I will spend more time looking for the perfect icon than I will on my font or my graphic. I just love great flat icons. I love them to death. And now you can actually jump on like a Code Canyon and find animated SVGs. And so there are these flat icons that animate out. So it's all code. It's all code. It's CSS3 all working together with an SVG, but it's animated. And so I spend way too much time. But they can be really effective for, again, a picture's worth a million, picture's worth a thousand words, you know, whatever the saying goes. But an icon can really help you kind of navigate a person through your website. You're not just using symbols and pictures. You're really trying to take website visitors on a journey. And this is just another great tool you can use to tell that journey. So let me give you guys a good resource to go to get all of your icons. It's called thenounproject.com. It's free, and you can get these beautiful icons that you can use all across your website. It's one of the biggest repository of icons. Flat Icon would be another place, but my go-to is thenounproject.com.
That's Noun, N-O-U-N?
Yeah, nounproject.com.
Right. Yeah, I use Flat Icon quite a bit mm-hmm. as well. That's awesome.
I would recommend some people jumping on to like a Code Canyon and putting in animated SVG, and you can find these. Basically, it's a little library, or it's a little, you know, bundle of animated SVGs. And that's really cool when you roll over the icon, it does a little animation, and so just another way to kind of take it to that next level.
Right. Okay, we're down to our last thing.
Oh, man.
All right, so our last way to take your website to the next level, talk us through that. I'll give that honor to you.
Let's just end it on domain names. And so, first of all, I want to talk about where you can get them and some of the best places that I recommend getting them. And then what do you want to look for when you're really going after your domain name? So a good place, one of my favorite, is Google Fonts. It's super easy to use. It connects to all of your accounts, so you can make your email accounts and everything. So check out Google Domains. I think it's, you know, $10 a year, so it's one of the cheaper, right on par with like a GoDaddy or something, but they just make it so simple. As far as your domain name goes, you really want to make sure that you can also get your social media handles. So keep your domain name as short as possible without being weird. So you don't want it to be short and nobody remember it. But also make sure that you can check it against, to make sure that if you can get your domain name as well as all the handles on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, even if there's a social media platform you don't think you're going to be on, still grab the handle. That's something that you're going to want to have for future use. But there's some easy websites you can jump on that you can check this. So there's a website called Name Checker. Let me see how it. Checker is spelled a little bit differently. It's called Name Checkers. Checkers spelled CHECKR.com. And here you can see if your domain name as well as all the handles, if they're together. And my thought here would just be, keep it the shorter the better, and be clear, not cute. So don't try to, you know, do something that no one would remember. So staying away from necessarily, you know, numbers. I remember when we were first registering our website for my dad's church, we couldn't get ambassadorbaptist.com. It had already been taken. So the church name was Ambassador Baptist Church. Ambassador Baptist Church here in Fresno. And so I remember eMachine, those junky computers, their domain name was eForMe. So I told my dad, I said, the domain name you need is Ambassador, the number four, for me. That was a horrible decision. I think we had like 10 visitors from the whole time we ever had that website. So don't be necessarily cute. Be clear and make sure you have a domain name that really is simple and easy to remember. And then use a site like namechecker.com to make sure you have all of the handles.
That's good. I think another thing to keep in mind here is that search engines now, like Google, are going by, and you can please help me fill in the gaps here, are searching by your URL, not necessarily other things. So that's the first thing that Google is going to pull up is what's between the www dot and your dot com, your dot info, your dot church, your whatever. Am I correct on that?
You need to have a couple of our marketers on to talk about SEO. I believe you are right, but Google keeps changing some things. So there used to be a day if you just had those words in your domain name, you'd pop up first organically. It's not as strong as it was. So yes, I would say yes, make sure you have some of those words in your domain name. But again, there used to be a day where you could just put church and you'd be one of the first ones up. It's not as simple. But can I talk about SEO for just a second? Because
it.
I think churches can win in their community if they just understood what Google was looking for.
Yeah, go for it.
So is it okay if I add a bonus in here?
Yeah.
If your church would every week for the next year, so if you would just take and make 50 articles, I know that sounds like a ton, but it's really just one a week, and you're sitting down, you're writing about things happening in your community, something that somebody would be interested in your community, and then you're kind of linking it to your church. This doesn't have to be a blog. It just has to be a page on your website where you're sitting down and you're writing 300-plus words, and you're using topics in your community, you're using your town name. And if you would just go and write 50 good articles with good keywords, I promise you, unless some other church in your community is just owning SEO, I promise you, you will be organically one of the top. Google is looking for content right now. That is what the algorithm is searching for. It's searching for unique content. So if you just had somebody, maybe even a volunteer in your church or somebody who would just sit down and link your community and link your church and write articles that would be semi-interesting. Again, it doesn't even have to be a blog. It just has to be a page under your main domain name. If you would go at 50, I can almost guarantee organically you will be one of the top on SEO. I know a lot of people talk about backlinks. They talk a lot about all these different things. The thing that's going to help you out the most is unique content under your domain name. So it's just these unique pages. There's a tool you can use called Yoast that will help you kind of go through and pick your keywords and make sure when you share it on social media, it shares correctly. But if you'll do that, if you'll take the next 55 weeks and just try to put one good article up a week that's 300 words plus, you will own the organic reach on your SEO.
That's good. Well, man, thank you so much for hanging out and walking us through these. Any last thoughts on websites and churches taking their websites to the next level?
Don't let your website be like your dirty broom closet. Don't let it become that thing that, it's that closet at your church that you never really go into. And so it kind of gets a little bit disorganized and, you wouldn't really be excited about someone going and seeing that. I don't know, people who show closets, but don't let it become that broom closet in your church. I know there's churches where the staff doesn't go on the church website. The pastor doesn't go on the church website. It just becomes this thing that's kind of ignored. And it's worth having some systems that say you consistently look at your website with fresh eyes. And I'm not saying overhaul your website every year, but maybe just every month, taking an hour and just saying, how can we improve this website a little bit? I would really encourage some of you, if you do, please email me and talk to me about this, because I'm really trying to get churches to write unique content. So if there's a church out there and you're saying, we can do that, Dan, we can write one article a week that kind of connects our community and our church. We're looking at some keywords. I'll tell you, if you just kind of slight edge this thing little by little, I mean, your website can be, one of those things that's really driving a lot of new visitors onto your church campus by not, every year having to overhaul, but just by doing some little things consistently. So once a month, taking some evaluation, trying to put some fresh content on there once a week in the form of like an article, a written down article, it can go such a long way. And know what's exciting is we're going to reach people who, they're on Google looking for something, they're looking for help, and your church is going to pop up. And you're going to have an opportunity to go through the gospel with them. You're maybe going to have an opportunity to go through discipleship with them. This is kingdom work. And man, if we can ever be a help, if you're ever interested, or if there's something I didn't cover, or if you have a comment, reach out to me, through the church hacks, and I'll be there to help.
So I think you bring up a good point. We were talking off air before we started recording about just our own platforms and what we do, and just walking through the importance of consistency in presenting content to people. I was sharing with you that one of the two of the primary ways that people come to us to get custom media work done and other things is through our blog and podcast, and we're very intentional about being consistent on both of those platforms. Right. That they're three times a week we put out an article. One of those is the podcast episode.
Wow.
And that is just a cranking out of consistency, and we've seen a huge success from that. And so I'm so agreeing with you that if churches can just kind of be consistent, not only in their content, but in their maintaining of their website as well, I think they'll see some huge success.
Now, Carl, what about in the first – because you started out being consistent. I've gotten to watch you, man. Again, it shows the love of someone who's willing to be consistent with content toward your audience. So, man, if you consistently listen, man, take a moment and just think, you know, right, Carl, hey, I appreciate it, because I'll tell you what, I'm not there yet as far as producing content. It's a labor of love. But here's a question for you, Carl. I mean, were you seeing those results in the first 6 months of launching? Yeah. When did you, how consistent were you? When did you kind of start seeing that bell curve, that hockey stick?
I would say about the 6 to 8 month mark, we started noticing, hey, this is definitely the outreach tool. And then, you know, after a year, definitely, and we're into year 2, 3 now. And so after that first year mark, man, we just started skyrocketing the number of visitors, and both of those avenues, blog and podcast, are absolutely free. But the amount of revenue, the amount of work that it brings us in the form of custom media, churches wanting us to do their bumpers and song videos and Easter stuff and Christmas stuff and you know, their content each month, church announcements, that sort of thing. Most of that comes through blog. They saw a blog article. They listened to the podcast, that sort of thing. So I would definitely say it took some months of doing it. So if you do it in the first 3 months and you don't see something, you're probably giving up too early.
And can I give a mindset shift for a church? If you're a church, you're saying, okay, you know, a blog, like, are we really going to put out a new article? Maybe don't think about it as a blog. Think about it as a helpful page on your website that connects to your community. So if you have a big fair in your town, talk about the big fair, talk about your big fair and the church, and make it just a page. I know sometimes it can be intimidating to say we're about to start a blog, because then you're like, oh man, we got to think about our audience, and we got to think about, and so it becomes this, and it has to go on forever if we start a podcast or something like that. How about instead of thinking blog and even podcast, maybe thinking more, okay, can we put up 50 pages of content on our website that are evergreen, so the content's going to be relevant. You know, it's not just relevant for this time, but someone could jump on here a year later and say, oh, you know, here's 10 activities to do with my family in this town during Christmas. And that's going to be a good, you know, page, and maybe you jump in and update it every once in a while. So maybe if you're intimidated by the thought of a blog or the thought of a podcast, maybe just think about them as pages on your website that Google is going to scan through, and when people are typing in your city name, things to do during Christmas, Google is going to send them to you.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's good, man. Thank you so much for coming on. I mean, your time and insight has just been fantastic, man. I really appreciate your insight and your knowledge on these topics.
Well, thanks, Carl. I appreciate it. Excited to hopefully talk about a little bit more. And again, if any churches are looking for me, they can jump on churchhacks.com. Man, I'm available. I want to talk through these things. If you want to push back on some of this stuff, if your data is showing something different, please share that with us. I'm always willing to change thoughts and ideas based on people's data. So bring that to me. Would love to have a conversation about it.
Good deal. And we'll put all that links to Dan, the website, Church Hacks, all that stuff will be on the show notes page for this episode.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Carl. I appreciate you.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get exclusive content for your team online now at 1230media.com.
Hey folks, this is David Michael Hyde. I'm a composer and music creator for film and digital media. If you're one of the increasing number of churches creating mini movies and short films, you are well aware of the challenge of finding music that matches the emotional arc of your films. What if you could partner with someone to create a custom score for your projects at similar rates as some production music, without all the hours of searching, cutting, and patching that comes from working with stock music? Listen, there is nothing quite like partnering with another artist to create something more than simply one plus one. If you're looking for music production that inspires your creativity, deepens engagement with your audience, and elevates your story, let's get your project started. Email me directly at david@davidmichaelhyde.com or visit my website at davidmichaelhyde.com and click on the Connect tab. Inspire, engage, elevate. DavidMichaelHyde.com.
Show notes for this episode are online now at 1230media.com/097, as in episode number 97. We're posting Dan's list of 10 ways to take your website to the next level as a free downloadable PDF for you, so be sure to check that out. Archives of all of our shows are online now at 1230media.com/podcast. That's 1230media.com/podcast.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, I welcome David Leuschner. David is on staff at Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas. Gateway is a multi-campus church with over 28,000 in attendance each weekend. He's overseen hundreds of volunteers and teams over the years. We'll be chatting about how to lead volunteers. Now, we've already recorded my interview with David. Guys, game-changing stuff for your volunteer teams. That's next week on the show. Be sure to check out David Michael Hyde, our podcast producer. DavidMichaelHyde.com is his website. He's a fantastic composer and a fantastic guy. Check him out today. It's a privilege hanging out with you guys. Go out there and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
For show notes, transcripts, and more free Church Media resources for your team, visit 1230media.com. We'll catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.